Hello, I'm Teresa Ayers.
And I'm Janet Gallen.
And we welcome you to
Love Letters Live. This is a show about exactly that, love letters. And we define here a love letter as your truth put to paper in a loving and compassionate way. They are meant for anyone at any time.
Friends, relatives, the people that are with us, the people that have left us, letters to let someone into your life, to let someone out of your life.
Graciously and lovingly out of your life. That's an important kind of love letter to write if you're so moved to do it. And to a doctor or a team of medical health, medical people who have helped you tiptoe past death.
Mm-hmm. Or to a sports team that you love.
Yes, a sports team you love. And a fan letter, a good fan letter as a love letter is a wonderful thing.
Yeah, I write business love letters to my clients to thank them for work that they have given me. I've enjoyed working with them, and you never know, you never write it, as Janet always says, you never write a letter with the expectation that you will get anything in return,
right.
But sometimes you do.
Sometimes you do, and a love letter, I'm glad you mentioned this, is a gift. It is a gift designed by you for someone on this planet. It's a gift that will never be duplicated, will never be outgrown, and will never change. It will always be as true as the day you wrote it. Even if you've changed and circumstances have changed, it will be the truth you felt at that time, and it will be that forever. So let's go to our guest. Our guest today is Albert Frankel. And Albert, I'm just going to go right to you and ask you to talk about yourself, where you were born, and start there.
Thank you, Janet. I'm a native of Louisiana, born in New Orleans, lived for a short while in Shreveport, and most of my active life in Baton Rouge.
And you grew up really as a Southern boy with a lot that that implies. Tell us what that is, how that's
indeed
values.
Certainly, it's not uncommon in other parts of the United States, but in the Deep South, it was often traditional that a family would take in a domestic worker.
Oh, this is going to get right to the point of what we're talking about today, too, isn't it? Yes, go ahead.
Indeed. Janet, I was 6 months old.
Mm-hmm.
It was the onset of the Depression in 1928. Both of my parents had to work to keep things together. And they reached a difficult point in their life in that they had to find someone to take care of their new little baby, myself, and also do some cooking and clean up the house a bit. At that time, we had someone apply for the job. She was a black woman.
Now, I have a question. Apply for the job. How did people do that then? That was a long time ago. Does that mean knock on the door?
No.
What?
Generally a reference.
Oh, okay.
Someone knew about the opportunity and told a friend.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you meet the family?
Mm-hmm.
That's how it occurred. And this person, her name was Gladys Eleanor Garrison Hamilton.
Uh-huh.
18 years old, was born along the banks of the Mississippi River in what was then sugarcane country. She was 18 years old. She did apply for the job, and my father said, she's too young.
Said that to your mother?
Said that to my mother.
Mm-hmm.
She was 18. She looked 13.
Oh. Uh-huh.
And the fact is that my mother said, don't send her away. Let her cook something. She went into the kitchen. She stewed a chicken.
Mm-hmm.
Made some great gravy. Some rice, put it in front of my father, and he said, let's keep this girl. She can cook.
So they gave her you.
Indeed.
Uh-huh.
I could not pronounce nursey. I could not pronounce nanny, and she was a nanny.
Mm-hmm.
We slurred it and called her Nanny.
Uh-huh.
And that was her nickname all of her life.
Yes, to the day she died, which was not too long ago.
She died on the 28th day of January, was buried on Mardi Gras, the 5th of February.
And well, let's work up to that. Let's talk about Nani and your life with her and what she was to you and what you were to her.
I would certainly
report. What's your first memory of her? Conscious memory.
Well, my memory is being in a playpen and trying to reach out to her.
Oh.
She was not only a nurse, a nanny, a cook, a cleanup person, but she taught me probably more than any other person in my life.
So she was essentially like a mother.
Indeed. Plus.
Uh-huh.
She played shortstop on our baseball team if needed. She was educated in my memory no longer than the fifth grade. But her values and her standards, incredibly high. And that came from her faith. She was devoted to her church.
Always.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you know her parents?
Did not.
Uh-huh.
She had no children. She was married a short time.
Oh.
She had a sister, and sister had two girls, so those nieces were the closest blood relations.
Mm-hmm. So you were really her little boy. You were her family.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm.
She had, she used to say, two families, her black family and her white family.
Mm-hmm.
But she called me her son.
Yes, and I know that you have talked over the years about her as your mother, but just go ahead through your life. I mean, what was she like as you grew up? What did she love about you? What was she patient with? What was she not patient with? Was she a disciplinarian?
Well, there's so many memories, and I think I should mention one thing about New Orleans, and that is jazz funerals.
Oh.
We lived across the street from a cemetery, and when someone from her church was going to be buried, very solemn, sad songs were played by a band that preceded the funeral into the cemetery. And we would watch from the outside of the cemetery. The minute they left the cemetery, the drummer hit a beat and the band would strike up songs like, I'll be glad when you're dead, you rascal, you. And we would follow the band just behind, strutting down the street. A typical New Orleans jazz
So
funeral.
It was not a totally morose occasion. It was really a celebration somehow.
Indeed.
Is that, uh-huh.
It is a fact, yes.
So go ahead about more about Nani.
She was so good and so kind and so considerate. Never put herself first. She probably was the greatest influence in my early years.
In what way? What did she teach you?
She taught me to tell the truth. Now, that may sound simple, but it is
no,
not
an important thing. How did she get that across?
You know, she let me know when I started to fib.
Oh, good for her. And good for you, I guess, too.
Indeed.
Yeah.
She was always very honest and open. And she taught me church songs. And took me to church, as a matter of fact. And just remember all the good things about her. I cannot recall ever in her life, and she lived almost to age 98, ever being down in the dumps or ever being discouraged. And she was relatively very, very poor.
Uh-huh.
I do recall that she never made over $7 a week.
My goodness.
But she did tell me that you could buy a meal for 15 cents.
Yes, I guess. So, and she lived with your family?
She did not.
Oh, she did not?
No, she had her own home
across
the Mississippi River.
But she came to you every day?
Every day.
Uh-huh. Yes. So, my question here is, she never seemed to you to rue that she didn't have her own children from herself. I mean, you were somehow family enough.
Indeed.
And what was she like with your parents? And what were they like with her?
Fabulous relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Nani knew five generations of our family.
Oh, Lord.
My grandmother, parents, myself and my brother, then our children and our grandchildren.
Yes, I was going to ask you about that. So as you grew up, as you grew older, and you went from, you know, a child to a boy into an adolescent, and you changed, what was that like for her? And how did you see her differently at all?
Well, I left New Orleans. I moved away in 1949, never to live there again.
Oh.
But Nani continued to play a huge part in my life.
How?
Influence, optimism, trust. She attended my wedding. She attended wedding of my daughter. She, as mentioned, knew my grandchildren.
So she had to travel for that.
She did.
Mm-hmm.
When aches and pains began to hurt, she decided to move to California and spent perhaps the last 45 years of our life in the Los Angeles area.
And you took care of her, didn't you?
We did.
I mean, because she was your mama.
We did, but we never could repay her.
Oh, I understand that. But I mean, you took the responsibility of a loving son.
Indeed.
Uh-huh.
Visited.
Yes, with your children.
Slept in her bed.
Uh-huh.
Just great memories. Tiny little apartment in central south Los Angeles. Loving relationship.
And you knew her friends at that point? You'd met her friends? And
indeed.
And
telephoned her every day at
4
o'clock in the afternoon, with the exception of Wednesday when she went to prayer meeting,
mm-hmm,
and Sunday when she was in church all day.
And if she was sick or needed something, you were down there, I believe.
True.
Yes.
Yes, she was as close a family as one could have.
So it's a wonderful thing to hear about, you know, how family is what we make, and family is who we take as family.
Right.
That's a really beautiful example of this. So, and your children loved her, and your grandchildren.
Just like their own mother.
So, and she, I know she came up to visit here. She came to visit you.
She did.
Because I remember meeting her, and she came to dinner with a big tin of chocolate chip cookies and a
Shobot
cake.
She was a fabulous cook. She did bake dobarsh,
mm-hmm,
and she could stack one thin layer on top of the other.
Yes.
It is true that her record, and we used to tease her about it, was 37 layers of cake.
It with icing in between each.
A fact.
Is that?
It is true. So many wonderful memories of such a sweet and fine person.
And the circumstances around her death recently were, had she been in the hospital before? Or?
Thank goodness, only a 4-day illness. Final days were spent in the hospital.
And you were there with her?
I was not.
Uh-huh.
I was surprised when I couldn't contact her on a Saturday.
Oh, you didn't know.
And 3 days later, she was gone.
And who let you know?
She had a friend from church whom we took care of as well.
Oh, and so they knew you were her son, essentially.
Indeed.
So they knew
indeed
who to call.
It was a quick call. I was kept abreast of it.
So when you say, you know, you said with some meaning to yourself, I could see that she was buried on Mardi Gras. Tell us about how that
Mardi Gras
is celebrated in the South, just
indeed,
for people.
Indeed, Janet, particularly New Orleans, Mobile,
yes,
Alabama,
yes,
Southern Louisiana. It's a religious holiday the day before Ash Wednesday. It is a feast. It is parades and forgetting your cares.
And taken very seriously, isn't it?
It can be, indeed.
Yes.
But it's a city celebration unlike anything in the world.
Yes. Are they doing it again now?
They are.
Oh, that's
yes
wonderful.
3 years since Katrina,
mm-hmm,
Hurricane Katrina,
mm-hmm,
Mardi Gras has continued.
Yes. And people, obviously friends and people you still have in New Orleans suffered
greatly.
Yes.
I used to attend Mardi Gras with Nani.
Yes.
We would be on the streets,
uh-huh,
watching the parades. And therefore, there is some little slight memory. Mardi Gras, childhood, and Mardi Gras, a burial.
Yes. It's kind of a nice full circle.
Indeed.
How lucky she was to have you, and without even needing to say so.
Uh-huh. You got it backwards.
Yes.
We were lucky to have her.
Yes. That is really something for an 18-year-old girl to walk into your house and remain in your life as part of your life.
Indeed.
Till she was 98.
Janet, the last time I visited her was in December.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, Christmas Day. And I asked if I could do anything. She was very nearing blindness. She
mm-hmm
said she'd like me to read the Bible.
Oh, my.
And it was
out loud to her.
Out loud to her. It was torn, tattered.
Mm-hmm.
And we started at Genesis. And before I could read a paragraph, she was saying it ahead of me.
Oh,
because
she
was not familiar with the words.
So after all these years, she had pretty much memorized. I mean, she could probably do most of it, right?
Correct.
Isn't that something?
Janet, she looked at me with eyes like she could see me, even though they were clouded.
Mm-hmm.
And I often wonder, what were her eyes thinking about me?
Yes. Or how much do you really need eyes to see somebody even?
Good point.
You know, and after a lifetime with you, and you're such a generous person, such a generous, loving person, that I'm sure that she could feel that always. Yes. And did your brother have the same experience with her?
He did, but he lived in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
But his feeling for our Nani was identical to mine.
Yes. That's wonderful.
Wow. Well, just to take a brief moment to remind our listeners that this is Love Letters Live. We're here every week at this time, and I hope you'll join us and our wonderful guests that we always have.
Thank you. So, did you deliver the eulogy?
I was one of perhaps six
uh-huh.
who delivered the eulogy. Many church members.
Yes. Was there music? Was there? I mean, did she say what kind of a funeral she wanted, or everybody just knew?
I think she scripted a good bit of it.
Really?
Fabulous music.
Mm-hmm. Played by, church choir.
Yes. Perhaps 24 people. Small church, but the choir was unbelievably moving.
Gifted? Is that?
Gifted,
yes.
Indeed.
Wonderful. So who gets your love letter today?
I'd be very pleased to have my two grandchildren mm-hmm. have the love letter.
Okay, tell us a little bit about them and how old they are and what their...
Grandson is 20 years old. Granddaughter, about to be 17.
Oh, that's hard to believe.
They didn't know Nani, but certainly did not have the privilege that my brother and I had or my mm-hmm. our wives. And I'd like them to understand Nani's impact upon my own life.
Okay, so this is a love letter to your grandchildren, and what's going to make it a love letter is two things, I would think. One, it's about someone you loved with all your heart, and it's being sent to two people you love with all your heart, and it's a gift to them to know about you and Nani, yes?
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the older you get, the more you appreciate these things.
Yes.
One of our regrets is that none of us had enough time with those who've gone before of us.
Yes.
There's so many unanswered questions, so much we'd like to know, but we can't retrieve it.
Right.
And I think it would be important, and I hope you would agree, that they have some understanding of what Nani meant in my life.
Yes, I would go farther than that. I not only agree, I would take it a step farther, that this letter, like all love letters and good letters, this is your history documented in your own hand. And I would guess that, you know, if Noah and Linnea have children someday and grandchildren, this is going to be there forever. Somebody will find this in 100 years, because people don't throw away love letters. And it's going to be an important piece of American history, of Southern history, and of your history.
So, you're right.
And your own handwriting, yes?
No problem about that.
Okay, good. And you're a letter writing anyway. You're a letter writer.
I am a letter writer. I use pencils so I can erase quickly.
Oh, good for you. Okay. And you also receive letters from friends, I know, don't you?
Indeed. Mm-hmm. Every week, friends back home, every week I write.
So wonderful.
This is not computer, this is handwriting.
Good. Yes, and that's important, because handwriting is important, because that's so much your imprint. No one else has that handwriting. And so you keep all these letters that you have.
Many, okay. I assure you.
So what is it you want to tell your children, your grandchildren, about Nani?
Everything.
Well, start with specifics. And the reason I'm asking you is specifics is what makes a good love letter or a good history great.
I can think of a small, short story. Right after World War II, Nani at that time was making $3.50 a week. And someone offered to double that salary. And my mother said, I don't blame you, Nani, if you take that. You need the money, and I can't afford to pay you. And I looked at Nani and asked, Nani, please, would you not leave me?
Oh, you asked Nani not to. Uh-huh.
And she said, told me later, darling, when I looked into your blue eyes, I said, I'll never leave.
Wonderful.
A little brief memory like this is something I'd like to include in love.
Let's list a couple of memories specifically that you want them to know. Now, I'm going to take notes for you, and then I'm going to give it to you, because sometimes people say things and then maybe they don't think of it exactly the same way later. So you talk. What are some other memories you want them to know?
I would think they should know that both my brother and I married when each of us were in the Navy, and Nani attended both weddings and actually combed my hair.
Nani did?
And combed my brother's hair prior to the wedding. She was always included in every family life cycle event. And the relationship between a white boy and a black woman that lasted 80 years, I would presume, is not something you see every day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that perhaps that sends a message about race relations.
And the possibilities, of course, yes.
Janet, may I take a moment to look at something that Nani wrote to me?
Please. And you'll share it with us?
I will.
Good, okay. So, and while you're looking, oh, you have it? Okay, go ahead.
About 5 years ago, Nani and I talked about race relations.
Mm-hmm.
Are being separated by color. And she wrote me this. I never thought about it. I sat in the rear of the bus.
Hmm.
To me, it was just natural. People were people. I was always happy at church. When I was with you all, we just hugged each other like we were one. I was at home. We were one happy family. You weren't black, but you were part of me. It was a blessing. We grew up together.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't mourn you, but I raised you.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful.
How long was she in the employment of your family?
Perhaps 25 years.
And then with you for the rest. Now, I have another question about this letter.
Yes.
Which I think is important. Since the letter is going to Noah and Linnea, how will you start it? In other words, I think, what will your goal be? I think it's important to say in something like this, a love letter to one person about another, you know, dear Noah and Linnea, I'm writing this letter to you about my Nani because, I mean, how will you start? How will you let them know what you want? What is your goal? And don't you think that would be important to say?
The answer, of course, is yes. But it's not formulated specifically in my mind. It's simply a spirit of feeling in my heart that I want to get across. And since they knew her slightly and loved and admired her, I want to emphasize and underline the fact that here's a person that was so important to me that I hope they will remember and appreciate it.
Okay, so in other words, you will be starting the letter with, here's what I want you to know. And what about specifics about Nani? Little things that you may not think of telling because they're so second nature to you, but to Noah and Linnea and to their children and children's children, they won't be. Like, what did Nani look like? How big was she? What did her voice sound like? These are things that I think will be something.
Thank you. I don't think Nani had a wrinkle in her face.
Ever?
Until she was 90 years old.
Okay.
Incredibly smooth, beautiful, soft skin that I often touched. Mm-hmm. She was of normal height and as she got older, she gained a little weight, mm-hmm. but never complained about that type of thing. Mm-hmm. Just loved the Lord, loved the church, and it sustained her.
Mm-hmm. And she ever talk about that, about what exactly gave her strength?
She was involved in every activity of a church.
No, but I mean how the Lord made her feel personally?
Well, she always told me how ready she was to accept her fate. Never fearing, never concerned about the end. Mm-hmm. Always prepared, ready.
So no fear of death. That's an important thing to be able to say about somebody.
Good point.
Okay?
You're right.
Okay, and just a couple of other things that I think would be really meaningful if I were to get such a letter. What did she do best? What were the foods she cooked? What were her talents? What did her voice sound like? All these kinds of things, the specific things. What did she love about you?
Oh, Janet.
You can think about this.
I can't even talk about that.
Okay.
I can't, but I can tell you that...
You can't because it's too emotional or because you're unaware?
It was just so deep.
Okay, so you'll have time to think of it on your own. And that's the beauty of a love letter, is its feeling and planning. And if I may suggest, you can just make notes over a period of a week or two every time you think of something so that you don't leave anything out of this history.
That's certainly well recommended. Her voice was sweet. Mm-hmm. I can remember her teaching me "Swing Low, Sweet Chariot."
Okay.
We did sing spirituals together.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you have a lot to think about. I mean, this isn't going to be an easy process. You can't sit here with us in the studio and do 98 years of memory in, 7 minutes. But you've got a lot to remember and think about, and the more you can put in of specifics, the better. And I thank you for coming and sharing this with us.
Thank you. It can be a very lengthy letter.
It can. By the way, it can. Do I have time to say one more thing?
Sure.
It can be a lengthy letter. And in the issue of how long should love letters be, I got a one-word love letter from Teresa the other day that just said, yay! This is a love letter.
Great.
And it can be 10 pages. It can be a book. It can also be, over a period of time, 4 one-page letters, and it kind of extends the gift. Another chapter about Nani. I think that's just a wonderful gift to have. So you have so many choices to how to do this.
And I'm wondering about the occasion. What will there be an occasion for mailing this letter to your grandchildren, or will it just be when you're finished with the letter?
Probably when I finish the letter.
Oh, I'm glad you said that, because we always say, if you think you have to wait for a special occasion to write a love letter, writing a love letter is a special occasion. And it really is. It lets you bask in the positive, and it does something wonderful for you physically. And we read an article not too long ago, study done, that people who write love letters 20 minutes a week have their cholesterol lowered somewhat significantly. Remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I need to write more love letters.
Everybody does. So thank you, Albert. It's been so lovely to hear about Nani again.
My pleasure.
What a treasure. Well, we come to the end of our program. We like to remind our listeners to join us every week at this time for Love Letters Live. And you can also visit our website and listen to all of our past programs, or send us a letter, ask us a question.
Us on the show. If you have a compelling story to tell and a love letter to write, we'd like to hear from you and talk about it.
Right. So, again, thank you for joining us. Hope to see you. See you, hear you, be with you next time at the same time. And we encourage you always to put your loving thoughts into words and to send them while you still have the chance.
Write a letter, change a life.
That's right.
Bye.
So until next time, with love from Teresa
and Janet.
Bye-bye.
Bye.